It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and happy Friday. It is Friday. Producer Steve, I know this is one of your most favorite days of the week.
Bring it on.
This is the Kim Munson Show. Welcome. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. You can go over to Facebook and give us a like. We would appreciate that immensely. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You get first look at all of the upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and podcasts. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. We've got a great show planned for you today. We'll go through some headlines in this first segment. We'll get the updates on what is happening in the mortgage market as well as the real estate market with Lauren Levy and Karen Levine. And then in the third and fourth segment, I know this is something that you are all so concerned about, and that is that this election could be stolen by cheating. And so we'll be talking with Kenneth Timmerman, and he is the New York Times bestselling author of The Election Heist. He also wrote the New York Times bestselling Deception, the YouTube video Hillary and Obama blamed for Benghazi, and other books on Middle East politics. He was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize for his work on Iran in 2006, and he's lectured on Iran at the Pentagon's Joint Counterintelligence Training Academy at Quantico, Virginia. That's going to be a really interesting conversation. Jason McBride is going to weigh in on the latest jobs report, which will probably come out about 6:30 this morning, as well as the jobless claims report that came out yesterday. Want to again mention this great I'm a Trumpster minority bus tour. Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas are out in the community. They're passing out literature. They're working to move the needle, encourage people to vote for President Trump, and that's going to be pretty necessary with, it looks like, all the cheating that's going to be happening with all this election on this. Producer Steve?
I don't want to steal your thunder for the, you know, the 6:30 to 7 segments of the show, but this is fascinating. I've been reading the details this morning on this stealing of the election. We already have essentially had the script. We know what's going to happen, what they're going to try to do. And it just blows me away. But again, not to steal your thunder.
Well, we're going to want to ask Ken, what can we do about this? Because we know what the game plan is. So how do we fight that? As we look at these issues, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And it is never compassionate, my friends, to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or livelihood via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, and unpredictable excessive taxation, fear, or election cheating. I may have to add that one in there, Steve.
The list keeps growing. Well, that's not funny.
So we need to ask these critical thinking questions, and they are what, why, when, how, where, and who. Our quote for today is from, I want you to see if you can guess who this quote from the day for the day is, Producer Steve. And this is it. It says, voting is the precious right of every citizen, and we have a moral obligation to ensure the integrity of our voting process. I think that is a beautiful quote.
It is, but the way you've dangled it out there makes me think there's something not quite right here. Go ahead.
Okay, well, first of all, voting is the precious right of every citizen. Notice that word, citizen. And we have a moral obligation to ensure the integrity of our voting process. It's Hillary Clinton said that.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, that certainly makes it significant.
But see, that goes to what we continue to hear, and what is that? It is psychological projection. And we have seen the Democrats, these Democrats that have taken over the Democrat Party. My friends, this is no longer the Democrat Party of JFK. But they know what people want to hear. They know what is important to people. What she said, that is important to people. But they say it, but then what they do is the exact opposite.
Exactly. Those are beautiful words. But when they come out of her mouth, oh, my.
Yeah, because we have seen all kinds of mistruths that have occurred there and all kinds of cheating. Wanted to go to one of the headlines. Oh, I haven't said thank you to this great team that I get to work with. And that is Zach, Keith, Patty, Charlie, and let me think, Steve.
You're flirting with a dead microphone.
Oh, haha. And thank you to each of you listeners out there as well. You have a purpose, strive for excellence, strive to be the very best version of yourself that you can be. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. So the first headline I want to go to, this was happened up in Boulder. Apparently, there was a little 12-year-old kid that had a, let me see where I can find it here. Oh, this was CBS reported this. Police in Boulder want to find a woman who attacked a 12-year-old boy who was riding his bike with a yard sign supporting President Donald Trump. This happened last Monday at Folsom Street and Glenwood Drive. And according to the police report, a woman riding a moped passed the boy and saw the sign. The suspect made a U-turn and approached the victim and began assaulting him because of his political banner. The suspect then attempted to take the banner but was unsuccessful. The suspect was described as a white female in her 20s and 30s, wearing a tan jacket, a blue shirt, and blue jeans. The moped was blue or gray. The assault is still under investigation. And she probably had her tolerance, kindness, love sticker on the back of her moped, Steve.
Yeah, the infamous coexist sticker. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, it's hard enough to get kids interested in the political process. Here's a 12-year-old who's obviously got some kind of motivation going, and she's literally going to beat it out of him.
Can you believe it?
No.
It's absolutely astounding. Okay, this is from KDVR. Jefferson County Public Health announced Thursday that it has filed a lawsuit against Bandimere Speedway following a large rally that was held there earlier this week.
Gee, what took them so long?
In a statement, JCPH, now again, these are unelected bureaucrats that are doing this, and they have deep pockets. They have tax money that they are using to file this lawsuit. Bandimere, which is a private entity, is going to have to lawyer up. You can see how the trial attorneys really like this. You know, that's why they're one of the biggest lobbies back in Washington, D.C. But anyway, it says JCPH announced yesterday, that it filed a lawsuit against Bandimere because of that large rally. And it says that it was a blatant violation of public health orders. The health department said it notified the Speedway in advance of its Stop the COVID Chaos rally, which was held on Tuesday. JCPH said large events, no matter their intent, remain subject to current executive orders and public health orders as they are law. The health department referenced one county public health order requiring approval for events with more than 175 people per activity, and another requiring people to wear masks outdoors when 6 feet of social distancing cannot be maintained. After Bandimere refused to comply with both county and state public health orders, JCPH decided it had no choice but to take legal action against Bandimere to protect the safety for all county residents and encourage behaviors that limit the spread of COVID-19 in our community. But, you know, what was it just yesterday, Steve, that we reported that the numbers, the death numbers nationally that they were reporting, that actually only 6% of that number really died from COVID? I'm not sure I even trust that. But here you have unelected bureaucrats that have the deep pockets of taxpayers that are filing suit against something that is in the Constitution that is a right for every citizen, and that is the right to assemble. Can you believe it?
When I read this story, something stuck out, and it could be very minor. See what you think. Notice in that story, no one person is quoted. It's just the statement from JCPH. Oh. There is nobody's, no individual name there. Now, that story came to us from KDVR or Fox 31, and I'm just curious why there's not an individual, some official's name there, that, again, the unelected official.
You know, that is part of journalism that is very important, is that as you quote your sources, you give, you make sure that you, you know, name who that person is. That is a good pickup. Boy, you have to get up pretty in the early in the morning, get past you on that one.
3:15.
Okay, next headline. This is from NPR, and it was an interview with Vicki Osterweil, I guess. She's the author of a brand new book, In Defense of Looting. It says, with lawlessness and organized looting threatening to take down Joe Biden, which the author here calls the riots spontaneous pro-Trump rallies, they should file in-kind contribution reports with the FEC. But anyway, we've seen leading Democrats like AOC say looting is just desperate people trying to get necessities like flat screen TVs, Nike shoes, Louis Vuitton purses. And this author says, I haven't been able to find the FDA's nutritional guidance on any of these necessities. In any case, NPR offered an extended interview with Vicki Osterweil, author of the brand new book, In Defense of Looting. And this is a few things that were highlights or lowlights from the interview. Question, for people who haven't read your book, how do you find looting? She said, looting, I mean the mass expropriation of property, mass shoplifting during a moment of upheaval or riot. That's the thing I'm defending. Now, my friends, we talk about it all the time. Marxism is basically the elimination of the individual and the elimination of private property. And, you know, Steve, I was thinking about it on the way in, thinking that we would talk about this, is that you can loot once. You can loot that business once. You can burn it down, but it's not coming back. And so these people are not going to have another, you know, they're not going to have a business in that community that will be offering, you know, if it's a drugstore or a grocery store, that's going to be gone. Because you can take it once, but people aren't going to build it up again so you can take it again.
I've heard asinine statements come out of the looters that say, not a problem. These people have insurance. You know,
Well, and Patty and I were talking about it. Patty said that most insurance policies do not cover loot or rioting. And then we were also, Patty and I were talking about it last night, that you have to pay a deductible. So let's say if your deductible is $2,000, do you have to pay a deductible when you get, you know, your business is looted on Tuesday night? Then when it's looted or burned on Wednesday night, is that another $2,000? That's a lot of money to these small business people. And it just doesn't make any sense. Anyway, I think you should take a look at this article. She says, can you, another question was, can you talk about rioting as a tactic? What are the reasons people deploy it as a strategy? She says it's a number of things. It gets people what they need for free immediately, which means that they are capable of living and reproducing their lives without having to rely on jobs or a wage, which during COVID times is widely unreliable or particularly in these communities is often not available. So you tear down the businesses, I think you're for sure not going to have jobs that are available.
You know, I'm a fan of the memes, the funny ones, and there was one with a picture of AOC in the corner with these asinine quotes of hers about, you know, what the looters are doing. And the bigger picture is a looter with a TV over his shoulder, but on the TV was they morphed a bread label, a loaf of bread label. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So we have got to, you know, I do think that people, you know, they're looking at this and they're like, we need safe communities. When we were talking to Karen Levine, people want safe communities. So I think that there will be, I think there will be a red wave in this particular election cycle, but we got to figure out what we can do about the cheating. We're going to go to break, but before we do that, I want to give a shout out to Hooters Restaurants. They are a great partner of mine. They have five locations, Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. They're open for dine-in, to-go, delivery, and curbside service. They have happy hour specials Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. It looks like, let's see, the Avs are taking it to 7 games. I think that game is played tonight. What a great place to go enjoy these games. They've got all kinds of TVs to watch all the sporting events. And so check it out. Wednesdays are Wings Day. All you can eat wings for $15.99. They have lunch specials. Kids eat free. That's dine-in. So for more information, go to order.hooters.com. That's order.hooters.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Lauren Levy.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. Before we get to Lauren Levy, all these partners that I have for The Kim Munson Show, it's because of them that we are able to be on the airwaves. And each one of them I can truly endorse. I know them personally. Metropolitan Total Property, we just heard that spot during this last break. They're a new partner of mine. I have worked with them since like 1987. You know, so we're coming into the fall work to get your lawns ready. The work that you do now on your lawns and your trees and shrubs, you'll actually see the benefits of that in the spring. So go to MetropolitanTotalProperty.com, reach out to them, go ahead and get your lawn aeration and all that scheduled because they do a great job. Now, Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group, he is a mortgage specialist. He works with a lot of different lenders. It is a very hot market right now because rates are low and there's high demand. Lauren Levy, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kim.
And always, thank you for your partnership. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You have been a busy guy.
yes, that's true.
With interest rates low, and now with, is it HUD that's out there that's possibly put, or, you know, may put on this new fee on refis? Is that HUD or who is doing that? I can't remember.
It's the Federal Housing and Finance Authority who is the regulator for Fannie and Freddie is who it is.
Okay. And so they said that they want to, what, offset some of the potential defaults because of COVID? Is that what they say they want to, is the reason?
Yes. They call it an adverse market fee because they're of a fear of what's coming down the pike if there's a second wave or just with people who just when the forbearance ends and they're not able to make their payments could lead to problems. Yes.
Okay, so what they want to do is charge an additional fee on refinance. They were going to institute it the first part of September, but the industry said hold the phone on that, right?
Yeah, they lobbied Congress pretty hard. Congress got involved, and the fee was delayed till December 1st. So as an example, what we saw is we have one lender that we work with that told us that starting next week, they're going to have to implement the fee back on because the December 1st deadline that they're talking about that they moved it to, that's when the loan not only has to be closed, but also packaged up by the lender and sold to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So that takes additional time on the backside, which is called the secondary market. So little by little, you'll start to see lenders re-implement the fee as we head into, you know, the latest, I would say, people would re-implement it would be like maybe November 1st, but probably more like October 20th. You'll start to see it re-implemented.
Okay, so if people were kicking around the idea of doing a refinance, they need to, like, call you right now, right?
Yeah, time is of the essence for sure. To get the lowest rates, what it's going to lead to is a little bit of slightly higher rate, like 0.125 to 0.25 higher than what they would normally be able to get today and probably for the next month and month and a half, 2 months.
Okay.
So, yeah, the window is there still.
Okay, so I'd highly recommend that people reach out to you, Lauren, at 303-880-8881. And tell us a little bit about the process, because I know because it's so busy, lenders are so busy. And so just walk us through what people can expect when they reach out to you.
Yeah, so the initial part of the front end is still the same. We still do a phone application. We can get things going like the appraisal and all. But basically what's happening is we're locking in people's rates for an extended period of time. To honor their rates, their rate will be protected. It's just that they have to expect that, you know, the loan, once it hits the lender and gets into underwriting, could take a couple, three, whatever, maybe even 4 extra weeks. So we're locking people in rather than for 30 days, maybe for 60 days.
But people can lock that rate in, though.
It's just taking longer.
You can lock that rate in right now. Okay.
Absolutely, you can lock that rate in.
Now, I think you had said that one of my listeners, you were able to get, you know, and it depends on individual circumstances, but there's still some rates out there in the twos. Is that right or no?
Both. Yeah, no, that is absolutely right. That is most loans, I would say. I haven't done anything in the with a three in front of it unless it was an investment property for quite some time now. Most rates are in the twos still, yes.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, Lauren Levy, as I say, when opportunity knocks, you need to answer the door. This is a huge opportunity right now regarding your mortgage to refinance it or to buy a home, and you can lock something in these rates. I mean, it's astounding. So I would recommend people reach out to you at 303-880-8881 and get that process going. And for all my listeners, you pay for their appraisal, which is about $625 or something.
Typically, that's right, yes.
Okay. Again, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, wish you a great weekend.
Thank you. You too, Kim.
And in studio with me today is Karen Levine. You have been a partner of the Kim Munson Show for a long time, a valued partner. You are an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, been in the business for a long time. You've navigated this crazy metro real estate market for many years. Karen Levine, it's great to have you here.
It's good to be here.
So what is happening? Any changes from our weekly report?
Things are staying pretty, I would say, the same, pretty stable. The numbers continue to look like new listings are coming on the market metro-wide, but more houses are going on under contract than are coming on the market, which means the supply continues to tighten, which means it's a very competitive market for buyers. I have noticed in the condominium market quite a few price reductions. So I don't know if sellers have been a little overzealous in their pricing or if there's a little pushback from the buyers in that particular segment of the condo, you know, of the housing market.
Because we haven't built condos in Colorado for a long time because of that construction defects legislation.
Exactly. And we were able to modify that legislation some over the last couple of years, but it has not been enough to induce developers to come back in and build
condos. Huh?
Yeah, and people need to understand that condominiums really are the entrance to home ownership for many single people or starting out, you know, in their new careers. They're out of college and they want to make an investment in home ownership.
And they can create equity instead of having all that money go towards rent.
Exactly. And I think I'm seeing it near my office, a really beautiful piece of land. They are developing it into 222 apartments, and it would have been a key location
for
condominiums. And
and it's because of policy.
It is totally because of policy. But what's interesting, and we've had this conversation before, is Colorado has an excuse, which is construction defect legislation, but we're seeing it nationwide. And I think the reason we're seeing it nationwide, they don't have construction defect legislation in Texas or South Carolina or whatever, but they're not seeing condominium development either. And I think that that's because this agenda out there is attacking homeownership.
Right. And they're pushing people towards, they call it transit-oriented development. So it's rental units and then with retail on the first floor. Ultimately, though, people like to own their property.
They do. And it gives them a sense of pride. It gives them the ability to build wealth. It creates creates safe communities, which we talked about the other day.
Because they're not as transient.
Mm-hmm.
People that live in a community, own their property in their community, whether or not it's a condo or a townhome or a single family home, they're vested in the community. And, you know, I guess we talked about it the other day. When people are coming to you, when you're having buyers talk to you, one of the first things they're saying is what, Karen Levine?
Well, I want to make sure that I purchase in a safe community.
And with all the stuff that's happening in America today, we need to remember that, particularly when we go to the ballot box this November. One other thing I wanted to just ask you about, we've talked about it before, though, And that is new bills.
Mm-hmm.
And you also help people in that arena. You've been in this business for a long time. I didn't know this, that you were so young when you got in this business, that you were the youngest person in your office for 10 years. That is pretty amazing that you, in that business, were so successful at such a young age. But so you have all these great negotiating skills. And that is something that would be really helpful if people are looking at a new build as well.
Most definitely. Sometimes you think that you can go into a new home community and navigate it on your own as a buyer. And I would warn you that it's to your advantage to have someone like myself in your court representing you as a buyer's agent.
Does builders, it cost people anything?
It doesn't cost them anything. Builders offer what's called a broker co-op. They offer it up front. They have one requirement, and it's very simple. It is, please bring your realtor with you on your first visit. So if you're considering a new community and a new home, and you kind of have that bug, pick up the phone, call me at 303-877-7516, and say, we're interested in new construction. We heard you on the Kim Munson Show and thought you could help us. And we can head out to those communities together, and I can help educate you about buying new construction. That was my very first job in real estate, and I have a good understanding of what that landscape looks like.
How that works. So again, that number is 303-877-7516. Karen Levine, we will talk to you next week.
Sounds great.
And before we get into the third and fourth segment today, you will not want to miss this. Our guest will be Kenneth Timmerman. He is the author of The Election Heist. And we are seeing all kinds of different pieces out there about potential stealing of this particular election. I know people are very concerned about it. Patty had found a piece that said that, this was from National Pulse. A Democrat data firm admits incredible Trump landslide will be flipped by mail-in votes emerging a week after Election Day. And so we've got to find out what's going on. What can we do about that? Before we go to break, though, also want to give a shout out to another great partner, and that is Castlegate Knife and Tool, located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. It is a family-owned business, and they're open 7 days a week, so maybe this weekend, just go. I don't know if they're going to be open on Labor Day. We'll have to check that out. But just go out to Sedalia, drop in, and take a look. They have all kinds of different knives. I actually have some weddings I've been going to, so I've been purchasing some great knife sets, steak knife sets, for those wedding gifts. But they have knives for collectors, for military personnel, for the sportsmen. So check out Castlegate.com. That's Castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Kenneth Timmerman.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts. Go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. We would greatly appreciate that. I cannot wait to talk with this next guest, and that is Kenneth Timmerman. He is the author of The Election Heist, wrote the New York Times bestseller Deception, the YouTube video Hillary and Obama Blamed for Benghazi, and other books on the Middle East, on Middle East politics. He was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize for his work on Iran in 2006 and lectured on Iran at the Pentagon's Joint Counterintelligence Training Academy at Quantico, Virginia, from 2010 to 2016. He just recently had a piece in the Epoch Times that Trump is right to suspect voter fraud. Kenneth Timmerman, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me on, Kim.
Where do we start? Why don't you tell us where we start on this, Kenneth?
Well, so my book, The Voter Heist, is the election heist, is about this election in 2020, what's going to happen, the tricks the Democrats are going to use to steal the election, because I believe they will try to steal the election. Every day, we're getting more news about this universal mail-in voter, which is going to be a disaster. You had the attorney general on CNN the other night with Wolf Blitzer explaining why it would be such a disaster. We've had primary races across the country where hundreds of thousands of mail-in ballots went astray, did not reach the right people. But I wanted to tell a fictional story so people could do a mind game, if you wish. They could imagine themselves just exactly what could happen. I finished my book in February, and I predicted in the book there would be Antifa riots down Fifth Avenue, breaking the shop windows of Trump Tower, Gucci, and all those stores. That happened 4 months later. I predicted there were going to be race riots across the country. I predicted also, and this is going to happen, that the Democrats will do everything to create chaos around the elections to try to delay the count of the vote. That's why they want these mail-in ballots, to delay the count of the vote. They're bringing in 600 lawyers. This is going to be fought out in courthouses across the country, and it's just going to be a disaster, Kim.
What do we do about this, Ken Timmerman?
Well, I've got a long list of things that we can do. You know, the president last night shocked people when he said that they should send in their mail-in ballot, verify it, and if they can't verify that it was received, then they should go and vote in person. He was roasted for suggesting that people should do what the Democrats used to say, vote early and vote often. But what he was actually saying actually had some sense to it. What he was saying to people is that, look, because of the uncertainties over the mail-in ballot, if you're going to vote by mail, go ahead and do so, and then check with your supervisor of election. Most supervisors of election allow you to track your mail-in ballot to see if it was actually received by election headquarters. And Trump said, if it was not, go in on election day and vote in person. Well, probably a lot of people are not going to do that, because that's why they voted by mail in the first place. That's what he was saying. He said, if the system works and your vote was received, say, that morning, it will trigger the alert in the election database that says you'd already voted. Well, people shouldn't do that because it's a felony to vote twice, okay? But what he's saying is check your vote, number one. Number two, what you can do, send it in particularly early. If you're going to vote by mail, send it in at least a week early, 10 days better. And, you know, even better than that, go to your old early voting sites. I live in Florida, and I voted early in our primary recently, earlier in August. And the elections supervisors are going to such extraordinary lengths to accommodate people, to keep early voting places and voting places safe. They're wiping down the voting booths after each voter comes in. So they're really working very hard to make it safe for people to vote in person, which I believe is the best thing we can do.
And I continue to see reports, do not mail your ballot in, but drop it off in one of the ballot boxes. And what do you think about that, Kenneth Timmerman?
Even better. And most supervisors of election will allow you to do that. So it doesn't go through the mail. You're directly delivering it to the supervisor election, which is the best thing. You know, I wrote this book because I was a Republican nominee in 2012 in a congressional district in Maryland, And I saw all kinds of shenanigans on Election Day. We saw the kind of tactics that recently the New York Post was reporting about. They had an undercover, they had a guy who had been a Democrat operative who was confessing all the dirty tricks that he had played. Well, I saw those in my own election. We saw cars coming from Washington, D.C., which is right next to my district, with five men, young men in them, and the car went from polling place to polling place. The guys got out, stood in line, went inside, and then came out with these little I voted stickers. They did it four or five times. We couldn't stop them. You know, we didn't have the right to challenge them there. It was in a heavily Democrat district. We saw, for example, Democrat operatives bringing busloads of people who were clearly mentally impaired. You can't challenge them at the polls. They're going to bring people in, and I talk about this in the election heist as well. They're going to try to flood elections offices with illegals who have no right to vote. Just as the polls are closing at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, or 6:30, depending on the state that you're in, to create confusion. They're going to demand a vote. They're going to stand there chanting, you know, where is my ballot? Where is my ballot? They want chaos. They're going to do everything it takes because they know Joe Biden can't win the presidency.
So we begin the show, Ken Timmerman, with a quote. And since you were going to be on, I Googled voter integrity. And there were a variety of different quotes that came up. But this one came up, and producer Steve and I talked about it in the first segment. And the quote was this: voting is the precious right of every citizen, and we have a moral obligation to ensure the integrity of our voting process. And Hillary Clinton is the person that said that. And they project what people really feel in their hearts, but yet they do the opposite. What's your comment on that, Ken?
Well, often that's the way that the Democrats behave. I mean, I hate to say it, Barack Obama was the same as president. He would say, he would accuse his opponents of doing exactly what he was intending to do. Remember when he told us 21 times that he couldn't do anything about DACA. He couldn't do anything about the Dreamers because, you know, it was against the law, and there was jurisprudence against it, and there was legislation against it. Then he went out and did exactly what he said he didn't have the right to do. And this is, we see this all the time. We see it all the time, unfortunately. The Democrats are more like Joseph Stalin than that very meritorious quote from Hillary Clinton. She was right. I agree with her 100%, but she doesn't believe it an instant. The Democrats believe more like Joseph Stalin, who said it's not the people who vote that who count. It's the people who count the votes.
Uh-huh. So, but this Democrat Party, Ken, is not the Democrat Party of JFK. And people that vote Democrat because their parents were Democrats, their grandparents were Democrats, I think they need to understand that this Democrat Party has been hijacked by radical activist left, the left, and you can vote socialism in, but man, it is difficult to get back out of it. So we are at a significant time of choosing here, Ken Timmerman.
That's a great point. You can vote socialism in, but you can't vote it out, because it is, as they said of the Islamists in Algeria a number of years ago, it's one man, one vote, one time. People should remember that. It's not the Democrat Party that I grew up with. I was a Democrat when I was younger. I even voted for Bill Clinton. Big mistake, but I did, because I didn't like George H.W. Bush for a variety of reasons. I didn't think he was tough enough on Saddam Hussein in the first Gulf War. But no, this is not that same Democrat Party. It has been taken over by radical socialists. When you have people looking towards Venezuela as a positive example of what we could have in America, you know there's some twisted mentality at work here. That is absolutely insane. Venezuelans last year, I believe it was, lost on average 40 pounds per person because of a lack of food in the country. They look at rabbits and say, oh, that's 2.5 pounds of meat. You know, when people look upon their pets as meat, you know they're in real trouble.
I was just thinking how the Democrats would spin that. They would say something along the line as Venezuela has had one of the most effective weight loss programs in the world.
Yes, right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well,
go ahead, Ken.
I can't quite understand, Ken Timmerman, how people that seem intelligent can't see the danger that we have coming down this particular election cycle. And you're in Washington, D.C., aren't you? Is that where you live? Or?
Well, I used to be. Now I'm down in Florida. Happily a Florida resident, happily voting in a swing state instead of Maryland.
and there's no income tax there, right?
And there's no state income tax. Exactly. So that is good.
Okay. So back east, though, I'm sure that you talk with a lot of people, very intelligent people, you know, nice people. They care about the country, but they just don't see what's happening. How do you engage with them, Ken?
Well, the problem, there are people that you cannot engage with, to be very clear about it. There are people you cannot engage with who have been so brainwashed by the Bezos Post, the Washington Post, or by the what I will call the formerly great paper of New York, the New York Times. I worked for the New York Times at one point back in the late 1980s. It was a great newspaper. They did fantastic investigative reporting. They still have some good reporters working for them, but they have so indoctrinated people. We're not getting news from the Washington Post, the New York Times, or CNN, the MSNBC. We are getting the daily indoctrination report. There is not a free play of ideas any longer in our society. I think it's a shame. I think it's wrong. And our children are being brought up in the government schools to believe that America is bad, a force of evil, and racist from its origins. You have the New York Times funding this 1619 project, which wants people to believe that America was founded on slavery. 1619 is the year that the first slaves were brought by, were sold by African tribal lords to English slavers and arrived on the shores of America. America was not founded on slavery. We were founded on the ideas of freedom, that people could escape oppression, make a new life, and government would leave them alone. That's what our country was founded on. And our children are being brought up to believe this twisted view of America and American history. And it's unfortunately not surprising that we get the results that we got today with Antifa around in these going from state to state to start riots. And even people in their 30s and their 40s who you would think should know better by now, raising their own families, who are just locked into this worldview.
It is truly astounding. Hey, Ken Timmerman, let's go to break. Stay with me through the break because we want to continue the conversation. You are the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Election Heist. And I want to ask you about how you predicted what was going to be happening to Manhattan and on the streets of our major cities. So stay on the line. Before we go to break, though, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, the jobs report came out today. Yesterday was jobless claims. What happened?
Well, Kim, the jobs report was about as expected. We added about 1.4 million jobs in August. The unemployment rate came down to about 8.4%, which was, again, in line with expectations. Now, if you remember, the ADP jobs report was way below expectations. So those two don't, you know, it doesn't
and you
really
mentioned
jive
that might happen.
With
yeah.
this one.
Yeah. What was the, was it at the top of COVID, or the low, let's say the low of COVID, was the unemployment rate about 13%? I can't remember what it was, Jason.
You mean at the worst point?
Yeah, at the worst point.
I think at the worst we were at, you know what, Kim, I don't remember the exact number. It was either 13 or 16, somewhere around there. I think last month it was like 10.2, and now it's come down to 8.4. You know, we're getting the jobs back. I mean, they never come back as fast as they go in a situation like this. But certainly I'm glad we didn't come in below the expectation, and the labor participation rate ticked up just a little bit too. So overall, you always want to see a better than expected jobs report. But we didn't get a worse than expected one, which is good too.
Okay. Well, this comes out on Friday morning at 6:30. That's normally when we talk with you, but we changed it so that you could kind of put together those numbers so that people had that hot off the press. So, Jason McBride, thank you so much. I'd highly recommend that people reach out to you. I know the market got kicked around a little bit yesterday. We always say when opportunity knocks, answer the door. There is an opportunity, a big opportunity right now to assess your risk tolerance. comments, your goals. I would recommend that they reach out to you at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Do you have big plans for Labor Day?
Well, I'm sure I'll probably get put to labor by my wife.
Oh, that Melissa, I tell you so. Jason, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
You too, Kim. Bye-bye.
And we'll be right back with Kenneth Timmerman.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And be sure and go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. On the line with me is Kenneth Timmerman. And he is the author of the book, The Election Heist, which actually it seems like you were predicting the future when you wrote this. I would never have imagined, Ken Timmerman, that Manhattan would be destroyed and looted the way it has been. For many years, I'd been in the fashion industry, and so I used to go back to New York at least four times a year and loved, you know, walking up and down Madison Avenue, Fifth Avenue, loved that. And when I've seen pictures of what has happened to New York, I cannot believe it. And you said that... You said this is in the book. Is that right? That you predicted Antifa and race riots and all? Really?
I describe it in the book in great detail. There's scenes because the book is divided into three parts. It's the campaign leading up to the election night with all that kind of seesaw back and forth. Who's going to win which state? Who's going to win what state? And then the inevitable recount, because there's going to be a recount. It's going to happen here in Florida and a couple of other states, I believe, as well. North Carolina is going to be in play. Pennsylvania is going to be in play at the last minute. Arizona, of all places. Keep your eyes on Arizona, folks, because Trump should be winning Arizona, but the Democrats are doing everything they can to pull some dirty tricks there as well. But, yeah, I imagine that. I had the Antifa going down, ransacking up and down Fifth Avenue, and when I saw those videos that came out after the actual riots took place 4 months after I finished the book, I just couldn't believe it. It was devastating to actually see that. You see all those shoplifters boarded up. In my book, unfortunately, two New York police officers die, and because they are told to stand down against the thugs, and they call back to their supervisor, actually the assistant commissioner, they say, stand down. There's no place to stand. The wave of the thugs just ran over them completely. Again, remember Rand Paul in front of the White House with his wife, how scary that was for him to be completely encircled by those thugs. If it hadn't been for a couple of brave Capitol police officers and the bicycles, he would probably be dead today. We would be talking about the funeral of Senator Rand Paul. So I think that fiction is very important. This book is a novel. It's a thought experiment. I want to take you on a roller coaster ride of the election in 2020 before it happens, so you can be prepared for what's going to happen and protect yourself, protect your family, protect your vote, and perhaps even make some calls to your election supervisors or the local Republican Party to make sure that they get serious about election security in your own area.
Okay, so Ken Timmerman, I talked with my county clerk, and he is Republican, and he assured me that there is ballot integrity in our county. And so I was trying to figure that out. He said, if you vote, that vote will count once we have made sure that that signature matches. And I'm like, okay. But then I'm like, where can the cheating occur? And one of them is with these mail-in ballots. And first of all, if a state has not been doing mail-in ballots, there is no way that they can get this ready from now till election time. It takes a tremendous amount of ramp up. So any state that thinks that they're going to start a mail-in voting process right now, it's just impossible. There's no way that you could have ballot integrity with that, Ken.
Well, that's absolutely right. And by the way, every election supervisor or county clerk in your case is going to tell you the same thing. Oh, our system is good. You know, we put all the security in place that we can possibly have. My local county supervisor of election, who I spoke to at great length really preparing this book, has taken some pretty exceptional steps. She has hired a graphologist, for example, to look at the signatures on mail-in ballots, because that is one of the big issues and one reason why many people might actually be hesitant to vote by mail, because maybe their signature has changed over time. Maybe they don't remember how they signed the election form when they did it 25 years ago. Maybe their signature has changed. Maybe their vote's going to be rejected. That's why the president said, go and see whether your vote has been received and whether it's actually been tabulated. But in the election heist, Kim, I also talk about some other ways that the Democrats could cheat that people are not talking about today, and it's very, very serious. This is through electronic hacking. And I believe I have identified through my own research and talked to experts in this field, including U.S. government cyber experts who work in some of those alphabet soup agencies. I have identified some very serious flaws in our election tabulation machines. People think we have paper ballots, and because it's paper ballots, it's secure. It's not. As one of the characters in my book says, as soon as you have software controlling a machine, the software can be hacked. And I point out to areas how it can be hacked and where it will be hacked, and I believe it will be hacked.
Ken Timmerman, I mean, underneath it seems like you're saying this election is going to be stolen. And that will really take away the voice of the American people. Give me some hope here. What can we do?
Well, the hope is, I am hoping that people will actually read this book, take it to their officials, say, look, wake up. Here are the vulnerabilities that you've got. You can defend against this. They can harden their systems against hacking. They can make sure that I'm not going to give you the spoilers alert of how it's done in the book, but they can make sure that some of the tricks that are well known in the hacking community. I'm not inventing things that are not known in the hacking community, okay? I'm not giving away secrets to communist China or Russia or our enemies about how they can steal the vote. It's all out there. It is very, very well known how to insert a Trojan, a rat, and all these different kind of hacking software. And by the way, they're now so sophisticated that once they get triggered on election night to tabulate the votes in a particular way, like their way, they disappear. So you cannot trace them. It's very hard to trace them. You have to catch them before they enter your airlocked system. And by the way, that's another thing the elections supervisor will take. Well, our systems are airlocked from the internet. They're air-gapped from the internet. They can't be breached. Well, they can, and I show how that happens as well. Take this to your supervisors, read the book, learn how these tricks work, and then go talk to officials. Sound the alarm. We can stop this from happening. We can prevent the heist, but we have to be alert, and we have to be active.
Okay, so the first place for people to start, though, is to make sure that their individual vote counts. And so if a lot of people do that, I mean, that is going to help significantly. My understanding, Ken Timmerman, is that the last election cycle or the last few election cycles, evangelical Christians and many veterans did not vote. And, you know, you have a responsibility. You have a civic duty as a citizen of this earth to make sure that you do what you can to stand for freedom. And the first thing is to vote and make sure that your vote is counted. So that seems like the first place to start, Ken Timmerman.
Absolutely. Go out and vote. Make sure you vote. And then, as the president says, make sure your vote was counted. Every voter can do that. Every voter can do that. And you can determine. Your county supervisor, I am sure, in almost every district across America, there might be a few that don't have this, but they are tracking those absentee or mail-in ballots They're tracking them, and they can tell you when your ballot was sent out, when your ballot was received, and when your ballot was tabulated. You know, when I was a candidate, we would get those electronically from the supervisor of election that database read every single morning. So we would know which absentee ballots had been received and which ones had been counted, so we didn't have to call those people. So that information exists. You can do that. Verify that your own ballot has been counted.
Okay. Ken Timmerman, author of The Election Heist, highly recommend the book. We've got 1 minute left. What's your final thoughts you want to leave with my listeners?
Well, I like to write fact-based fiction. So there's an awful lot of research that went into this book. I talked to computer experts, to hackers, to people in government. I had my own experience as a Republican nominee in Maryland to draw from. I wanted to create a thought experiment for ordinary Americans so you can imagine what's going to happen and prevent the worst from actually taking place, because they will try to steal the election if we don't stop them.
Okay, Ken Timmerman, thank you so much. Wish you a great weekend.
Thank you so much, Kim. God bless.
God bless you as well. And our quote for today is from Edwin Meese. He said, as a former U.S. Attorney General under President Reagan and a former Ohio Secretary of State, we would like to say something that might strike some as obvious. Those who oppose photo voter ID laws and other election integrity reforms are intent on making it easier to commit vote fraud. So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.